Welcome back to another edition of This Week on Channel 9. I'm your host, Christina Warren, Senior Cloud Developer Advocate. And you guys, it's June. The Bachelorette is on TV, and that means that in the Northern Hemisphere, summer is upon us. I'm thrilled that the sun is finally starting to peek out in Seattle, and I'm also thrilled to bring you the latest dev news. So let's get into it. First things first, update your Git installations. There's an industry-wide security vulnerability in Git that can lead to arbitrary code execution when a user operates in a malicious repository. The good news is that the Git community and major hosting providers are on it, and new updated versions of Git are available. Additionally, hosting providers like Visual Studio's Team Services, GitHub, and GitLab are actively blocking any repository that tries to set up a Git submodule outside of the .git directory. Still, if you want to update your Git installs on your client machines, so Visual Studio 2017 is being patched right now, and a hotfix will be available soon, and you can also download the latest version of Git for Windows if that's what you use by going to gitforwindows.org. Ed Thompson, a program manager of the VSTS team and the maintainer of the libgit2 library, has a great post on his blog with information about how you can update your client on Windows, macOS, and Linux. And in a funny coincidence, I actually interviewed Ed a few weeks ago at Build about Git security before this security issue was made public, and he talked a lot about the importance of Git security and how OSS and major vendors work together. A link to Ed's blog post and that podcast are in the show notes. But seriously, patch Git now. Next up in happier news, .NET Core 2.1 is out, and this is a big release. Now, I want to be clear, this is not .NET Core 3.0, which was announced at Build and will bring support for Windows desktop apps, but this is still a big deal. And that doesn't mean that there aren't some great and massive features in .NET Core 2.1. Some of the big highlights include Span T and Memory T, which is like a unified way of accessing managed or unmanaged memory with zero copy. And there's also new APIs focused on cryptography, compression, and Windows compatibility. And this release also supports Alpine Linux and ARM32 chips. Alongside .NET Core 2.1 is ASP.NET Core 2.1, which features HTTPS by default, SignalR, Razor class libraries, and more. Check out the show notes for links to videos and blog posts highlighting all the new stuff. And speaking of .NET Core 2.1, Xamarin MVP and Microsoft MVP Greg Shackles has written a great blog post where he introduces how easy it is to use one of the .NET Core 2.1 features, which is support for creating global tools. So global tooling support means that it'll be easy for developers to create command line tools based on their favorite scripts and even distribute them in NuGet. And Greg has his own take on a .NET say, which was an example in the official docs, written in F#. And the example itself might be a little silly, but it's awesome that Greg is showing off how easy it is to create global tools using F#. In cool project news, Frank Krueger just launched Fuget.org, a NuGet package browser combined with an API browser. And the description on the website explains this is a package browser that uses NuGet.org API to display all the packages in their index. And the API browser shows the XML documentation and the metadata of the packages to help you explore and learn, so you can see what's actually inside your NuGet. And I love it. Speaking of things that I love, BC3 Tech has a great tutorial about how to ship an Alexa skill that turns on a server hosted by Azure. Alexa, turn on my server. That's a nice ring to it, right? I won't lie. Sorry if I activated your Alexa. On the latest episode of Five Things, Burke talks with Elijah Manner about five of the greatest VS Code extensions. And as somebody who literally wrote the script for this show in code, I love the list, and I want you to share your favorite extensions in the comments. The next version of Chrome, which is supposed to be released in July, is going to start calling out websites that aren't encrypted with SSL certificates, you know, like HTTPS. Now, we can debate whether every website actually needs SSL and what this means for breaking the web, but this is happening, and a lot of us are going to have to figure out how to set up cheaper or free SSL certificates for our websites. And one of the options is Let's Encrypt, which is a free automated open certificate authority, and we've mentioned that before on this show. Our friend Scott Hanselman actually has a really great blog post showing how to secure an Azure web app with Let's Encrypt in just minutes. And so if you have sites hosted in Azure that aren't already SSL encrypted, be sure to check it out. iOS 11.4 shipped this week alongside a new version of Xcode, and the Xamarin team has already published an update to Visual Studio for Mac 7.5.2 and Visual Studio 2017 15.7.3 with the SDK and IDE updates. And now it's time for my pick of the week. One of my all-time favorite apps, 1Password, just came out with a huge update for its Windows app, 1Password 7 for Windows. Now, I'm primarily a Mac user, but I also use 1Password on Windows, and in the past, it hasn't always been the best app, but that's changed. The new version works great with Microsoft Edge, Windows Hello, and supports local vaults, and you can choose to sync yourself or the 1Password subscription service. If you're looking for a good password manager with excellent Windows support, 1Password is my pick, so congrats to their team on the new app. And that does it for me. Let me know your favorite VS Code extension in the comments, and we will see you next time.